We're looking in reference to the matter of these prophets and what they went through dealing with that point, and do we have the heart of the prophets? Would we respond in the manner in which they did, what they had to encounter, what they endured? You think about in reference to it, what was it the prophets were bringing to them, that to Judah and Israel, that was to their detriment?
Bring the truth.
Truth. People don't like the truth. That's kind of the situation that exists. There were examples of rejection throughout the scriptures. I want to just note this one. First of all, you deal with Proverbs in reference to Solomon. Now, Solomon deals with the matter of wisdom within chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. And in regard to it, he identifies, and you're going to note a couple of things that he identifies. When he says in verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the street. She utters her voice in the broad places. And so here's wisdom that's out there. It's out there for the taking. You know, just take it and give it. And that's what he sets forth. And she's in the chief place of concourse. There's a couple of other times that Solomon will use, he will personify wisdom. That's what he does. And in regard to it, when we get over to the point of where he said in verse 26, I will laugh in the day of your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. That's wisdom. You either, you get it, you look for it, you find it before you need it. And that's what he identifies in reference to that. Because when the time when we get it in the midst of something, and it's very difficult to find our way out. Might not think it, but we say, well, I know what to do with it. And then we get in those situations, whatever they may be, if we have not prepared ourselves for it, it just seems to elude us in reference to finding a resolution to whatever may come about. But it identified in verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scoffers delight in them in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man hath regarded. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at these individuals within what they encountered, and how the people had refused them. Jeremiah, how many books did Jeremiah write? Two. You have Jeremiah, and you have Lamentation. And in regard to that, what other name has been attributed to Jeremiah? The weeping prophet. And so we find in regard to that, it's interesting to note, Jeremiah, when he was sent forth to do the work in Jeremiah chapter 1, and the Lord calls him, and he told him in reference to that, in verse 10, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. He said to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, then build a plan. He had a lot of stuff to be removed. He had a lot of destruction that had to come about first. And oftentimes that's the case even when we're dealing with within our own lives as well, that you have to get rid of it, get it out of the way, so you can build and plant. This is not a matter. The Lord didn't come to restore the problems that existed among Judah. He came with that which is new, that which was one that he could build and plant on and set that foundation. And so that's the, you know, when he told Jeremiah to do this, that I have put my words in your mouth, that whatever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And be not afraid of them, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith Jehovah. That's what he said in verse 8. But there were times that Jeremiah was wondering, this really wasn't what I had in mind when all of this started in reference to it. So we're going to look at what Jeremiah has to do. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, we see the, 1 through 5, we see the matter of Jeremiah attempting to reason with the people. And here's the matter. You look, this is before the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah had already come in, and he had indicated of Nebuchadnezzar with what he would do. He didn't give him by name. The Chaldeans are going to come in, and what they're going to do unto Judah. Now, he started prophesying before it ever came about, before there was ever the inclination that that's what Nebuchadnezzar would be doing. And so the people were very opposed to what he was saying, speaking against the nation in reference to it. But he said, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that doeth justly, that seeketh truth, and I will pardon her. That's what the Lord said. You seek it out. That's how broad this rebellion was among the people. You find some, I'll pardon her, if that's the possibility. And though they say, as Jehovah liveth, surely they swear falsely. So they were claiming to be serving the Lord when they weren't. And so we find that the Lord indicates with Jeremiah, you find someone, I'll pardon her. And then Jeremiah said, O Jehovah, do not thine eyes look upon truth. Thou hast stricken them, but they were not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Then I said, surely these are poor. Now notice his thought process in reference to the reception that he was receiving. He said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of Jehovah, nor the law of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they know the way of Jehovah and the law of their God. But these, with one accord, have broken the yoke and burst the bonds. They broke the yoke of the law, and they would not follow the law. And he said, these are the ones that know. That's what he said. They know the way of the Lord and the law of God. I'll go to them. And so he had the hope of reception that he might receive from them. And so that was the problem that Jeremiah had when he tried to reason with the people. So here's, you have a prophet that's in Judah. All the population and all of them are going to be, or the majority of them, will be against him in what he's doing. In Jeremiah chapter 11, we find, now here's thing. One of the things the prophets did was that they prayed for the nation. They prayed for the people. That was the part. They had a concern, for we'll look in reference, maybe in reference to Elijah, that he was jealous for the word of God, that he was adamant. He was upset, for lack of a better term, in reference to the rebellion of the people. He couldn't understand it. And he said, how long ago ye left you between the two sides? Make your choice. And so we find here in chapter 11 and verse 9, Jehovah said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, who refused to hear my words. They are gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape, and they shall cry unto me, but I will not hearken unto them. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto which they offer incense, but they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods. You find the extensiveness of this idolatry that was going on. O Judah, according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have ye set up altars to the shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. That's how widespread this matter of this Baal service was among the children of Israel. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry, nor pray for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me because of their trouble. I'll not hear them. Don't pray for them. I'll not hear them. You think about Proverbs chapter 23 or 28, verse 9. Proverbs 28 verse 9. Somebody read that. Now this is a warning or a admonition or warning that can be given to any. Ready?
Yeah. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law Even his prayer is an abomination.
Even his prayer is an abomination. You turn your ear away from the hearing of the law. That's what he said. I'll not hear it. Your prayer is an abomination. And so we find that there's a matter. This, our service to the Lord is not like a light. We can't turn it on and off. You know? And talk about folks being pocketbook Christians, whatever the case is, that only when they have a problem that they'll try to seek the Lord to see what the problem, you know, can they can resolve. And we need to understand, I know you do, but we need to emphasize the fact with people that even their prayers are an abomination. If you turn away your ear from the hearing of the law, your prayers are an abomination. Don't think that God will respond to your prayers. Not that he doesn't hear them, but to respond to them in a positive manner. You're not going to do it anyway. And so that's what Jeremiah was dealing with among the people. In Jeremiah 44, this is the one when they were in Egypt. Babylonians have come in. The Chaldeans have taken the land of Judah. They destroyed the temple. They have hauled off the royal seat. They've hauled off those of prominence among Judah. And they just left a remnant. They couldn't take it all. It'd be with any nation. You can't take all the people. It'll just destroy it. You have to have somebody there to work it. And for the proceeds, that'll go to the king. That happened with Assyria. When Assyria came in and took the northern tribes, then Sennacherib and those and Pilate, whatever his name is, one of those kings that he brought, because they took and they scattered the people among other nations, among other places. That way they couldn't group together and rise up against the king. And so in that regard, now they left the northern part of Israel in need of working in that. So he took those other people that were in other nations and brought them to Israel in order to work and that sort of thing. And so when we think about this, the people, Nebuchadnezzar has come in, he's destroyed the temple, he's taken the people away. And so we find that they had asked the question about going to Egypt. He said, pray for it. Well, what had happened? I'm getting ahead of myself. We dealt with this when Gedaliah, who had been appointed by Nebuchadnezzar to be governor over Judah, there were folks that didn't much care for that. One of them was Johannes or Ishmael. Might have been Ishmael. That was a pope. He was part of the royal seed. Anyway, they killed Gedaliah. And so now the people are going, what are we going to do now? Nebuchadnezzar will come in and wipe us out now because we've killed his governor. So they asked Jeremiah to pray for him to go to Jehovah. He was reluctant about doing so, but he said, I'll do it. And they said, whatever the Lord says, we'll do. We'll do. We just want to know. So he comes back and he says, don't go to Egypt. Well, that's what we wanted to do. We were just looking for some justification to go to Egypt. So you didn't speak by the Lord. So they denied him as a prophet in that regard. And so to Egypt they went, and Jeremiah went with them. And so here in chapter 44, verses 1 through 30, they are in Egypt, and Jeremiah is speaking with them. And what I want to note in this particular part, they came to, verse 1, they came to the land of Egypt, dwelled at Migdol and at Tammanese and Memphis in the country of Pathros, saying, thus saith Jehovah, host God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have done, had brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwells therein. Because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went, burned incense, and served the other gods that they knew not, neither they, nor ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, nor turn from their wickedness to burn incense to other gods. Wherefore my wrath and mine anger was poured forth and kindled in the cities of Judah and of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as this day. And so we find that Jeremiah approaches them I believe we dealt with this just briefly the other day in verse 15. Right? Because he told them that you're going to be in Egypt. You're not coming out of Egypt. You're going to stay there until you die. You was afraid of the sword and famine and all of that, the pestilence that would happen in Judah. So you fled to Egypt, and the Lord said that's going to follow you. There was only a small remnant that went back to Judah. And because you have some that, like Jeremiah or Ruth or whatever, that didn't turn from the Lord. But everybody went down to Egypt. They vacated the land. They vacated the land. And so there weren't any of them that were in Judah after they went to Egypt. So here's what we find in verse 15 that Jeremiah was dealing with. He said, then all the men who knew, well, 15 through 19. Who wants to read that? 15 through 19. Chapter 44.
And all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt in Patros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you, but we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our mouth, out of our own mouth, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food, were well off, and saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. The women also said, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without her husband's permission?
All right. So it said, we're doing it. We're going to do it. Okay. When we were doing it before, everything was great. When we quit doing it, now everything's bad. So we're going to go back to doing that which we were doing before. So Jeremiah identifies why it was bad, why the bad part was there. Verses 24, verse 24 through, well, just through 25, 24 to 25.
See, the Lord Jeremiah said to all the people, to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye, your lies are both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed, burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows.
All right, we find that in reference to this. What Jeremiah identifies, verses 20 through the rest of the chapter, is he identifies the matter that the reason that they were having the problems was because they were doing it in the first place. That's the reason you have the problem. There are consequences to our actions. And so the consequences came upon them, not because they turned to serve the Lord, but because they had previously been involved in that idolatry. And so that's what Jeremiah, there's the rejection that people have, that they said, we're going to do it. We're going to do what we want to do. And Jeremiah said, and you've shown that to be the case with your hands, that you have been involved in that. All right, so that's the type of an attitude or type of situation that Jeremiah found himself in. What I want to do this morning is I want to look at some matter of the false prophets that existed among them. We noted yesterday about the old prophet, so we'll not go back there. The old prophet that lied to the young prophet, and the young prophet had died. 1 Kings 18:20 with the prophets of Baal, or is everybody familiar with what Elijah did on Mount Carmel? Okay. All right, so we're not going to go to Mount Carmel right now. We find that in reference to the prophets of Baal that Elijah had dealt with them properly. In Jeremiah chapter 28, because this is going to get us closer to what we're dealing with. In Jeremiah chapter 28, there was a prophet called Hananiah. Here's what he did. I want to see Jeremiah's attitude within what he's hearing in reference to this. It came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. Where did Zedekiah fit in, you know? Zedekiah was the last king. He was actually an uncle to the sons of Josiah, if I understand it correctly. And so we find that Jehoiakim had reigned for 11 years, then Jehoiachin, his son, reigned for like 3 months, and then Zedekiah was appointed as king over Judah by Nebuchadnezzar. And in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur the prophet, who was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of Jehovah in the presence of the priest and all the people, saying, Thus speaketh Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of Jehovah's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. Now, to do that, Jehoiachin would also return. Jehoiachin was the last legal king in that lineage. You'll find him referred to as Jehoiachin, Jeconiah, or Coniah. And Jeremiah had indicated there would be no seed of Coniah set upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. And so Jehoiachin was the last legal king. The people of Judah, even though Zedekiah had been appointed as a king, we find the people of Judah were looking forward and looking to Jehoiachin coming back out of that captivity, bringing all that Nebuchadnezzar had taken, and reestablished in the city of Jerusalem and in Judah. And so with that type of mentality, with what they had, then they didn't receive very well the message of Jeremiah when he told them, build your houses, have your children, marry, give in marriage, do all that, because you're going to be there for 70 years. But they said, no, that can't be, because Jehoiachin, he's going to come back, going to bring everything back, and here's Hananiah, that he comes in here and he says that that's what's going to happen. I'll bring again, look at verse 4, I'll bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went to Babylon, saith Jehovah, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. I'm going to break it. I'm going to bring all of this back, and all the people are going to, you know, rejoice in that type of prophecy. Then Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest and the presence of all the people that stood in the house of Jehovah, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. Right? Hananiah said that what he is speaking was from what source? From God. By God, I'm speaking in reference to that. And so Jeremiah doesn't argue with him. Jeremiah says, Amen, let it be. If that's what it's going to be. Jehovah do so. Jehovah perform thy words, which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of Jehovah's house and all of them of the captivity from Babylon unto this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of the people, the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet that prophesied peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that Jehovah has truly sent him. So it's a matter of, Amen, let this happen, and you'll know when it happens that Hananiah was speaking as a prophet of God. Then Hananiah took the bar from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck. They put him in bonds and took the bar off of his neck and broke it. He broke it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith Jehovah, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, within 2 full years from off the neck of the nations. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. He's heard it. It's about before the priest. Everybody's heard it. Everybody heard what he said was going to happen, and Jeremiah goes on his way. All right, 12 through 17.
The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Go and speak to Hananiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made instead of them yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will serve him. And I have also given them him the beast of the field." Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, "Listen now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. This year you are going to die, because you have counseled rebellion against the Lord." So Hananiah the prophet died in the same year in the seventh month.
All right, so he said, 2 years this is going to happen. And Jeremiah said, you're going to die this year, because of what you did prophesying against the word of Jehovah. When you think, what was Jeremiah's primary admonition to the people? The message. Well, what was his message in reference to Nebuchadnezzar? What did Jeremiah tell them to do that the priests and the leadership were upset about?
Recognize him as the leader, I think.
That's it. Recognize him. You submit to it. And they're going, what? That's not going to happen. We're not going to do that. And then Hananiah comes in and says that God's going to remove Nebuchadnezzar. We don't have to worry about that problem. Jehoiachin or Jeconiah, they're going to come back with all the captivities. They're going to come back. What kind of an attitude is that going to develop among the leadership of Judah and the people? Rebellion. We're not going to submit to Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to do it. And so Jeremiah said, okay, amen. Let it be. Let it be. So he's on his way, and the Lord said, you go back and you tell Hananiah that not only is this not going to happen in 2 years, but you're going to die. Because they're going to have 70 years in their Babylonian captivity. So you have Jeremiah, and Jeremiah predominantly as a prophet alone. Now, there were other prophets. There was one, Uriah, and we'll look at some of these other names, but there was one, Uriah, who had spoken against the city as well. And Jehoiakim was going to destroy it. So that's before Zedekiah was going to kill it. So he left, he fled to Egypt. Now, these kings, they were so adamant about this matter of Jeremiah. This tells us what their attitude is about Jeremiah. Jeremiah didn't flee. Uriah did, but the king sent to Egypt and fetched Uriah and brought him back and put him to death. That's an example for the people about what they do and what's going to happen to those who have that type of an attitude. And so these prophets, they were not only being rejected by the people, they were in fear of their lives. Their lives would be taken because of this message they would speak. And what did the Lord tell the apostles in reference to fear? Don't be afraid. Fear not their fear. All man can do is what? Kill you. That's pretty serious. Okay. But fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. There is a greater respect that ought to be given to God for our obedience. Will man take your life? There are places, talking to the gentleman that he was from, I think he was from India, and he would go into a tribe, basically they still had the tribal units down there. Him and his wife would teach sewing to the women. But you had to be invited into that tribal situation. And so when you went in, you had to bring something to benefit the tribe. Well, his wife taught sewing, and that was a benefit to them. They had to spend the night to make sure that they weren't evil. They had to spend the night in the cemetery, is what they did. And if they got up the next morning, everything's good, then they'd receive them. And I was talking to him, and he said, "Well, China, you go to China?" He said, "They'll kill you." They tolerate some things. Thailand, I think, is the same way, that you go in there, you do not approach them. They can approach you, but you cannot approach someone with the gospel. You go to North Korea, you're dead. It's just that simple. They believe Christianity to be a detriment to the government. All I do, we're not, Christian, not a detriment to the government. The government is what it is. But they believe it to be a detriment to the government, and it is the most persecuted, most country known for persecution on the planet. So if you really want to challenge this stuff, go to North Korea. There was here a few years ago, some young man, there was an island or something that they were told, don't go over, don't come in here. And this man decided that he was going to go in there with his mission and he was going to convert. They killed him about as soon as he hit the beach. You know, told you, don't do it. And so we find that when individuals like Jeremiah or Uriah, within the proclamation of the message of God and what he has, this is not popular. Not popular among the people. And he deals with this on their national basis. And what happened with them as a people, as a nation, we can still learn from the fact that people that do not want the truth, they're not simply just going to be a, okay, that's fine. But they will, with great vehemence, is that the proper way to pronounce that? They're going to oppose you. They don't want to find out what, you know, tell me what's wrong. Yeah. We're right. We do this. And they'll do whatever they can do in order to defeat that which you're stating. We'll look at that with Nehemiah here in a moment. But it's interesting to note of Hananiah prophesying by the name of the Lord. Jeremiah said, you don't, and you're going to die, and your prophecy, that's what he had said, that when it comes to pass, when that prophet, when this comes to pass, the prophet will be known. Yeah, he's right. Okay, well, that didn't happen with Hananiah. We find Pashur, he was a priest. And this is what Jeremiah had to deal with as well. And when we deal with this, he was a priest of the son of Immer, the priest, who was of the 16th court. Now, David, that when David had arranged the priest, there was a time that David started with the course of the priest. And so he set them all up. During the Babylonian captivity, when they came back, not here, but when they come back, not all the priests will come back. Because you had two, Eleazar and Ithamar. Those were the two tribes, or the two descendants from which the priests came after the order of Aaron. Because Nadab and Abihu had been killed in their rebellion of according to the will of God. All right, so we find that when Pastor heard Jeremiah prophesy, then he smote Jeremiah the prophet, put him in the stocks that were in the upper gate of Benjamin, which was in the house of Jehovah. So right there, house of Jehovah is where? Benjamin. Okay. That's what it says. Where was the temple? Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in Benjamin. All right, so that's where we find him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pastor brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, Jehovah hath not called thy name Pastor, but whatever that is, which means terror on every side. Jeremiah tells him what's going to happen. For thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive to Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. But I'll give all the riches of the city, and all the gains thereof, and all the precious things thereof. Yea, all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, or to be the Chaldeans. And they shall make them pray, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pastor, and all that dwell in thy house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and there thou shalt be buried, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied falsely. Alright? So what happened to Pastor? verse 7 through 13.